welcome to the Commune Podcast. My name is Jeff Krasno. This week, I'm happy to bring you yet another fantastic course from the Commune Library. As you may know, in addition to being a podcast, Commune is also a video course platform featuring a wide range of programs from top teachers on personal growth, yoga, meditation, spirituality, functional medicine, nutrition, and social impact. Essentially, everything that you need to be holistically well. Now, this week, you will be hearing from Ayurvedic practitioner Nidhi Pandya. Now, for those of you who are new to Ayurveda, here's a little background. Ayurveda is a holistic system of medicine that is indigenous and widely practiced in India. And the word Ayurveda itself is a Sanskrit term meaning the science of life. Ayu means life or daily living, and Veda is knowing. Ayurveda is thus a medical system that deals with health in all of its aspects: physical health, mental health, spiritual well-being, social welfare, environmental considerations, and dietary and lifestyle habits, as well as treating and managing specific diseases. In her program, Ayurvedic Nutrition, Nidhi shares a holistic approach to nourishing your body through the lens of Ayurveda. You'll learn how to better time your meals, strengthen digestion, use traditional Ayurvedic spices, and explore the connection between what you eat and how you actually feel. By the end of this course, you will have a newfound clarity and an action plan for lasting health in a way that's right for you. So over the course of the next 5 days, we will be releasing the first 5 parts of Nidhi's course. Now, if you want to watch the full video version, which includes 10 core lessons plus a downloadable workbook, well, then I encourage you to go to onecommune.com/trial and sign up for a free trial of Commune membership. That's onecommune.com/trial. There you can sign up for 14 days of free all access to Commune's entire course library, including the full-length version of Ayurvedic Nutrition. Now, we'll always email you before your free trial is up, but if you continue on to become a Commune member, well, thank you. Our members are the key reason, really, we are able to create and share free content like this. And if you regularly tune into this podcast, I also ask that you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. Tap follow show and leave a review. It makes a huge difference. Okay, welcome to day one. Ayurveda relies on the intelligence of the cosmos. So if you want to understand how your body works, you must tune into the cycles around and within you. Now let's begin with a discussion of these cycles, followed by the 3 pillars of health according to Ayurveda.
So this is an incredible time in the history of mankind. We've never been more health aware, and we've never had the opportunity to Google almost anything that you want to about health. And yet, this is a time when we feel the most helpless and most confused. Sometimes I feel like the more information we have, the more overwhelmed we are. In fact, the experience, I describe it as an experience of going to a really busy mall. I mean, imagine all of these vendors, thousands and thousands of stores, and everyone's eagerly trying to sell you something. And now you've stepped into this mall and you don't really know what you're shopping for because you don't know your size and you may not know your gender preference and you don't know the occasion for which you're shopping. And now stepping into this mall with everyone trying to sell you everything can feel very overwhelming. To me, this abundance of information without a filter kind of feels like that. But now imagine stepping into that same mall and you know your size, you have a gender preference, you know what you're shopping for. And now the same experience suddenly becomes a little bit more comforting. You feel more confident. Everything else is background noise and you go and you reach out for what you want. And this is the gap that we have in our health industry, that we have information about the world outside, but we've really forgotten who we are. In fact, if you study blue zones in the world and you see people who traveled less actually lived longer because they had less information. Well, this is where Ayurvedic nutrition comes in. It really brings you back to you so you can feel more empowered to make better health choices. I'm Nidhi Bhanchali Pandya, and I'm a third generation Ayurvedic practitioner. And I'm here to talk to you and teach you about how you can use the principles of Ayurveda to bring the focus back to you so you can make more intuitive and informed health decisions. Growing up in a family where my grandfather was an Ayurvedic healer in Mumbai, India, was a very unusual and a fun experience. I lived in a family with 14 people, each one responding differently to their environment. And I think this is where really I learned about Ayurveda. I heard terminology like, hey, if you're going out in the sun, you may react a little bit more strongly than your sisters, so brace yourself or drink a little bit more water. And understanding that we are all not the same, that we're all unique individuals, we have a bio-individuality, really taught me and made me intuitive to our own body and its cycles. Besides, living Ayurvedically meant that there were certain rhythms in the universe, seasons that you followed. In fact, a lot of people would feel that growing up this way would mean that you would have a lot of discipline and a lot of regimen and life was serious, but it was actually quite the opposite. Just understanding how I would respond or how anybody would respond to the world outside, foods, seasons, weather, actually made us feel more confident in our own ability to make decisions regarding our health. So honestly, health was never, it never came from a fear of being sick. It was really the freedom that comes from being well. And this is the basic principle of Ayurveda. It relies upon the intelligence of the universe to find intelligence within. The biggest principle based on which all of Ayurvedic texts were written comes from the Vedas. And it says, Yatha Brahmande, Tatha Pinde. Yatha Pinde, Tatha Brahmande. Now that's a Sanskrit shloka. And what it really means is, as is the universe, such is the human body. As is the human body, such is the universe. So to understand the human body, you want to tune into the cycles of nature around you. And if you want to understand how the universe works, you really want to tune in to your own cycles, because the universe has a very rhythmic, systematic functioning for both. And this is exactly the reason why Ayurveda is timeless and universal. As long as the earth revolves around the sun and rotates on its axis, Ayurveda is relevant. It's based on timeless and universal principles that can be applied to evolving times. Just as we discovered gravity and it still holds true. Similarly, all of those principles hold true as long as we keep finding new applications for them. In fact, back in the day, you know, for generations before us, our ancestors understood how the universe works and how it compares to the human body. In fact, working on the farm, working on farm and bringing your food from farm to table really gave you that understanding. When you touched your food, when you saw the amount of water that goes into it, the sun that goes into it, how long does a crop take to harvest? It made you very intuitive about what this food holds for you. In our times today, when we are so used to consuming packaged foods, we rarely ever know the source from where our food comes. Now, that being said, my expectation is not for all of us to go back to farms if that's not what your life allows, is but to just gently use the principles of Ayurveda to bring back this intelligence. So right here at the start of our program together, I'm going to ask you to trust your intuition. The first time we learn to eat as human beings, as babies, we are in the womb being fed from an umbilical cord. We have no idea that we have to use our mouth, but we have such a strong intuition that as soon as the baby is delivered, it understands that it needs to use its mouth to eat from the breast. This is the intelligence that we carry, and I invite you to really tune back into that intelligence as you follow along in this segment. So to help you and guide you along the course, we've designed these worksheets and cheat sheets that you can follow. Right here at the start of our program together, I'd like you to kind of go back into your childhood, maybe even your heritage, maybe do some research and try and think about all of those foods that were traditionally eaten. Write them down for me. When were they eaten? Was there a season associated with it? Was there a quantity? Were there spices added to those foods? And the reason why I'm asking you to do that is because as we go along the course and we start seeing how foods were naturally consumed in their balanced states, I would love for you to then revisit this and see that how you may find those parallels in spite of not being from the world of Ayurveda. Almost all traditional foods carried that balance. I'd also like you to kind of recall if there were any sayings around food and health that you grew up with. For example, don't drink cold water or you're going to get a cold. Anything that you may have heard and may or may not have brushed off as irrelevant. But this is a good time to kind of recall and bring them back. So when you go and you understand the science behind some of these things, they might become relevant again. So when it comes to your health and preservation of life, how important is food really? Now, Ayurveda, right, which is the science of life, Ayuhu means life and Veda means science. How much importance does Ayurveda give to food in the preservation of life? Now, for this, Ayurveda has identified that there are three different factors, three different pillars to health and preservation, and that is how you eat, also known as ahar, how you sleep, also known as nidra, and then how you procreate, also known as brahmacharya. Following some discipline around the three of these, and we'll go into why that is the case, will allow us to really preserve and value our life and use our vehicles for higher goals. And right at this point, I actually want to point out that Ayurveda and yoga are sister sciences, but yoga is the science of energy. It is the science of self-discovery, while Ayurveda is the science of matter, of the gross body. And it seeks to preserve this vehicle so that you can have an experience on this planet, but you can also use the vehicle to kind of go deeper within and discover who you are. So let's go into the first aspect, which we are going to be covering a lot more of, which is ahar. That ahar is, or food, is that which kind of keeps you in homeostasis, keeps continuously nourishes you, because in every second, cells are being annihilated in your body and being regenerated. So ahar or food is that raw material that you need to regenerate those cells, to keep life going, and to keep your body in a certain environment or homeostasis. The second one is nidra or sleep. That while your body is in motion and you're performing tasks and you're living this life, you also need to take that step back. It's that time when your body conducts silent repair. And if it's important to be in motion and live life, it's equally important, according to the Ayurvedic understanding, to kind of take a back seat and allow your body to do that extensive cleaning that it requires every night. And now the third aspect, brahmacharya, how do you procreate? Now this becomes really important because evolutionarily, right, biologically, we are made to procreate, to enjoy the world and keep it going. Now, that being said, when you study how our organs functions in Ayurveda, our reproductive fluids are actually fed last after all the tissues are being fed because they're very essential. They're also called the vital fluids and they carry potential for life. So they're very precious. How you use them or how you lose them becomes extremely important. So according to Ayurveda, right, following a certain regimen and discipline around the use of your vital fluids will allow you to preserve your life and the potential for life, your fertility, depending on how you use your fluids. What might be interesting to note here is that for those who are following a spiritual path and who seek to kind of disconnect from worldly experiences, it's these exact same fluids that are actually used for an awakening, for a Kundalini rising. Now, with that, let's come back to our topic for the day, which is ahar, is food. Now, since this entire program, right, is about bringing the attention back to you and how you relate to food, let's just even start out by thinking about what is it that you eat for? What is the function of food in your body? And it might be different at different times. For example, you might say that I use food just because I want to build muscle, or just to get done with my nourishment, or because I enjoy eating food, or I use food to swallow my feelings. But really getting honest with yourself and taking a few moments to think about what is the function of food supposed to be in your body. And now I'm going to give you the Ayurvedic perspective on this, right? Most of us, when we think of it intellectually, might think that I consume food so I can nourish my body and tissues. Well, let me tell you, that's actually the second function of food. Because the most important function that your body carries is homeostasis, is to kind of keep the environment of your body exactly how it's supposed to be. We understand this really well when it comes to farming or it comes to our plants, that the first thing, even if you were to go and plant a seed, the first thing you would check for is how is the soil, how is the sunlight, how is the irrigation? Because you know that only when the ecosystem is right and working, only then can the seed transform into a potential plant. Similarly, only when your body enjoys a certain level of homeostasis or balance, can your food actually be transformed into nutrients. Otherwise, you can go on planting seeds, and if you have an arid land or if you have less sun or less irrigation, there's going to be no transformation. So understanding, right, that how does my food affect the environment of my body? How does it keep me or take me out of balance, is the first function of food, is to keep you in balance. The second function of food is to nourish your body and your tissues and to provide the nutrients that are required for cell and tissue building. So while this sounds like an interesting concept, hey, I use my food to keep my environment right so that they keep transforming. But how are we going to assess what the environment of the gut is? And how does Ayurveda really look at foods? I mean, the only way that we've learned to look at foods today in our generation is to look at nutrient content. And to be honest with you, how much do we understand it beyond the jargon that we read on labels? How do you intuitively know what this food does to my body? And this is where I find Ayurveda becoming really useful, because it has a really profound way to look at foods. It understands that if it all comes from the same universe and the same planet, there has to be a code which will allow me to assess my foods and how they act in my body. And for this, Ayurveda offers two brilliant principles that I'm going to share with you. The first one is Dravya Guna Karma. Dravya means substance, guna means property, and karma means action. So you can look at a substance, determine its property or guna, and based on its properties, you can assess what action it might have in your body. So there is a code for discovering those properties and then thereby understanding the action in your gut. And here I'd like to introduce the second principle, which is Samanya Vishesha Siddhanta. Now this principle states that Samanya, which means similar, when I consume something which has certain properties, it will have a similar action in my body. And Vishesha means opposing, that if I have something which is opposing to what I'm experiencing, it will give me an opposite effect in my body. And I want to explain this further. Let's say I'm going to give you the example of, let's say, coconuts, because they're the easiest to understand. I see coconut water. Coconut is a dravya or a substance. And you see, what are the properties of this coconut? And it says, oh, it feels cooling. It feels nourishing. And So the action in your body then becomes cooling and nourishing. And it's very easy to understand this when you look at coconut. And it's also very easy to understand this if you were to look at chilies and say, oh my God, this chili is hot and spicy, and it makes me hot and spicy. But when you look at more complex substances and newer substances, that can feel a little bit challenging. But as we kind of go through it and we understand the code that the universe carries and that Ayurveda offers, this becomes increasingly easier. Through this program, we are going to be able to assess substances and understand the environment of our gut and see how they interact. And based on that, how does this food react in my body and build my tissue in the short term and keep me in balance in the long term? And we're going to go through this together and become our own health experts. How many times have you heard that something is really good for you and then consumed it and felt not so good? And this is why I say you are not what you eat. You're only that what you can digest. Now, this brings us back to that environment of the gut. The basic function of your food is to keep the environment of your gut right and thereby the environment of your body, or keep your body in balance, in homeostasis. So we are going to try and understand this environment of the gut from an Ayurvedic perspective, which will make it much more intuitive and easy to determine what actions certain foods could have in that environment. Now, Ayurveda says that everything that you consume goes through your digestive fire or Agni. Ayurveda also states that Agni is where every single disease begins. So when your Agni is not functioning right, the environment of your body is not in balance. And when your Agni is at its optimum, health is then a given. So what is this Agni? What is this digestive fire and this digestive environment? Let's look at it a little bit closer. I want to use an example here. I mean, imagine that you're making this perfect, let's say, lasagna, and you've gathered the best ingredients. You've got a nice marinara sauce and Italian tomatoes and the best ricotta, and all your ingredients are in place. And now you put that baking dish into the oven, but your oven is not working. I mean, your dish is not going to turn out. So the missing piece here was, how did this food transform? And the functioning of the oven kind of determines whether this food can transform into lasagna or not. Similarly, we can dump our food with as many nutrients and supposedly so-called foods that are good for you. But if your body cannot process them right, you cannot really use those foods. And now this is where the concept of Agni comes in Ayurveda. Everything you consume is transformed through your Agni. What is Agni? The literal translation is a digestive fire. Agni is your ability to metabolize foods effectively. And it's really based on the environment of your gut. Now, when you hear the word digestive fire, I mean, instantly an image of fire comes to my mind. But Agni is not the dry type of fire. Agni is more like a fire with fuel. It's not a matchstick that burns out. It's an oil lamp which has a moisture or a fuel that's holding that fire. According to Ayurveda, every single disease has its origin in Agni. When the Agni is not functioning well, imbalance of the body is a given. And when the Agni functions well, balance is a given. So let's understand the nature of this Agni. What does it mean, this fire, this fuel, this warmth? And for that, I want to kind of take you back a little bit into the understanding, the ecosystem that our body carries. Now, we all know, we've all studied that we are warm-blooded. We function at a temperature of 98.7. But where do we really feel this warmth, and how does it feel? If we were to exhale into our palms, and see, that feels warm and moist. if you were to kind of even see how does the temperature of your blood feels when you go on a blood test, it's the test tubes feel warm and moist. Your urine feels warm and moist. In fact, all your reproductive fluids feel warm and moist. Whenever we go off that warm and moist, if you were to urinate and sense heat, you would know that you're out of balance. Mother's milk is warm and moist. When we hear about the probiotic environment, which has become a very common health word in the last few years, what is probiotic environment? It's also known as the flora and fauna in your body. And when we look at the universe around us, where does good flora and fauna exist? It's in a place where good warmth combines with good moisture. That's where things can grow. It's like Florida in March. As soon as things go off that warm and moist, whether they become hot and humid and becomes inviting to parasites and mold, or becomes cold and dry where nothing can grow, transformation stops. So everywhere in the world, if we are going to rely upon the intelligence of the world to understand the intelligence of our body, the one thing is for certain is that when the sun and the water come together, the planet Earth happened. And when warmth and moisture meet each other, transformation happens. And that's why as living beings, we're constantly keeping ourselves in that range of warmth and moisture. And now this brings us back to our Agni. Now Agni, or your digestive fire, is a place where this is a little more concentrated. And keeping that basic nature alive for your Agni is your first responsibility when it comes to health, which means that any deviation, anything you consume that will take your Agni away from this warmth and moist space means that the environment will be affected. And thereby, right, this is why we see all kinds of conditions, whether it's parasites, whether it's candida, whether it's gas and bloating. That's all a functioning of an Agni going off. One of the images that I like to use when it comes to Agni is of a nice bonfire, which has a good fuel and has steady amount of wind and a good amount of fire, which is really being held together and keep it together. So with this understanding, right, constantly tuning in and allowing your own probiotic environment to just be nourished and to flourish, that's going to ensure that not only is your digestion functioning well, but every single organ in your body functions at its optimum. And for this, we can really use our foods and assess what they would do to our Agni and thereby how they will contribute to health or the lack of it. Now, if you're familiar with Ayurveda, the question might come up, I thought I was supposed to eat for my dosha. Well, let me first get into what a dosha is and whether the prescription is for you to eat for your dosha or not. So doshas, right? Doshas are when your body has a natural tendency to move away from this warmth and moisture to either a place which is cold and sluggish, which is also known as kapha dosha, which means things kind of slow down in your body. I mean, imagine things are transforming, and the minute the ecosystem becomes cold and sluggish, then things slow down, they start building extra, and there's a feeling of overnourishment and heavy. When your body holds that tendency, you can say that, hey, I am predominant in kapha dosha. Now, there are certain bodies that have a tendency to go from this warmth and moist into hot and humid. And when things are hot and humid, they're just very fiery and you're transforming everything almost too quickly. You're responding stronger to the sun. You may have a very fierce attitude. And that is known, that bio individual is known as, that individuality is known as pitta dosha. And when the tendency from this warm and moist is to go into cool and windy, just a lot of wind, again, effective metabolism doesn't happen. And there's more movement, there's more decline before things can really stay nourished, they're out of the system, and there's a feeling of depletion. And when your body holds that tendency, it's vata dosha. So while it is fun and easy to go and take a quiz on your dosha, The truth is, your body is a very dynamic being. It's constantly changing where it stands. It may be useful to identify its basic tendency, but it's really more useful to constantly assess, is this in the warm and moist range? Am I in that balanced range? And when you start just noticing symptoms, you automatically will say, if it's too hot, I will move to cooling foods. And we will go into what those cooling foods are. Or if I'm too dry, I'm going to move into more moist. So my grandfather, who was an Ayurvedic healer and lived into his late 90s, in a very healthful manner, taught all of us to eat not for our dosha, but really for our symptoms and for being in balance. So through this course, I hope you'll take this ride with me where we will learn how to assess foods and assess your body so you can learn to eat this way too.
Thank you so much for listening to this excerpt from Nidhi Pandya's course, Ayurvedic Nutrition. If you want to watch the full video version, which includes 10 core lessons plus a downloadable workbook, well, I encourage you to go to onecommune.com/trial and sign up for a free trial of commune membership. That's onecommune.com/trial. There you can sign up for 14 days of free all access to commune's entire course library, including the full-length version of Ayurvedic Nutrition. Of course, feel free to email me anytime with suggestions or criticism of the constructive variety at jeffk@onecommune.com. Okay, that's all from the commune for today. My name is Jeff Krasno, and I'm here for you. Thank you.